Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to come into your house once again, to be able to dig into the Scriptures, to find that faith-building knowledge, to be able to have that foundation to stand so firmly upon, to be able to learn the truth so that we can proclaim the truth. Help us do that very thing, to always stay on the straight, to stay on the narrow, to stay in the truth. Thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. In James chapter 3, verse 1, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." A caution going out to all teachers, letting us know that we are responsible for what we say. Our tongue is such a powerful instrument. Our tongue can make so much of a difference in our lives and in the lives of everyone who hears us. And everything that we say is out there and it never goes away. You can say, "Oh, excuse me, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't really mean to be that mean to you and say those horrible words." You think that's going to erase those completely out of the mind of whoever you said those to? No. You might sugarcoat it a little bit, it might push it away to the side, but it's there. You already said it, it's out there, it ain't coming back. And in this day and time, when we have the radio and TV and the internet and all the written language, all our communications is very, very important that we never say anything we shouldn't say. So we got to understand that everything that we say has consequence. It can make an impact on our lives and everyone around us. So be very careful what you say, what you present, what you teach. Because as it clearly says, a greater condemnation, a greater judgment is going to come upon those that have been chosen to be teachers. We have an awesome responsibility put upon us to lead people, to teach people. We've been given the blessings of the understanding of the Word of God, given blessings to be able to stand and talk before people, or to be able to handle a small group somewhere and be able to relate with them. It's very important that we do that with the utmost caution that we can and care. We've been given a lot and we will be blessed for a lot, but we're also accountable for a lot because we've been given a lot. That understanding, that talent that He has given you, you need to utilize that talent when He has given it to you. Don't be so fearful, that if I'm going to be held more accountable if I take this job, then I ain't going to take this job. Then you won't receive the blessings that He has in store for you to do that job. So don't let that worry you to the point where you don't work for the Lord. It ought to excite you to let you know that along with that greater judgment, there's greater reward also when you get it right. And don't be afraid to say, "I don't know." When a student comes up to you or you're out there witnessing and they ask you a question, if you don't know it, admit it. It's not shameful that you don't know everything that's within the Scriptures. It's worse if you give them an answer that's wrong and misdirected them because you're so puffed up with pride in a position that, "Well, I'm the teacher. I'm supposed to know all the answers." So you just pop out an answer and then later you find out that was wrong. And then what do? You done put that wrong answer out there. And you go back and tell them, "Well, I was wrong." You just ruined your credibility way more there than if you would have admitted, "Well, I don't know." You tell them, "Well, I don't know, but I'll find out and get back with you." Or, "I don't know, but I know somebody who does know. Let me direct you to them." Or, "I don't know, but I know the source of all knowledge, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word." So you can direct them that way. And encourage them to study for themselves. I love that billboard that used to be up in town and said, "The Bible, read it for yourself." And that's critical that we do that very thing and understand and not stand on somebody's commentary or what somebody's opinion of what the Word of God is, but know the Word of God. That's our responsibility as teachers to know it so that when you do see something that is false, it is so brightly lit up that it just sends off the signals of, "Hey, this is wrong. Need to do something about it." Just as we mentioned earlier, there's something wrong here. Got to do something about this. So we got to be very careful of all the literature that we use. We got to be very careful of the commentaries we use. We got to be very careful of the individuals that we quote that are not scripture quotes, because we can be spreading something that is false or misleading and really hurt a lot of people. There, is a commentary Bible out there, a revised version Bible, which is known as the Scofield Study Bible. People don't like to think of the Scofield as being a different translation, but it is actually a different translation. It was back in 1910 when he put that together, and it was revised again and again a few times after that, but it is a different translation. It's got different words than the 1769 King James Version that most churches utilize. And within his comments and commentaries and some of the word changes he's made, there is some false teaching. Most of the Scofield is correct, but you got to remember that it is different. It is not the 1611 King James Version or the 1769. It has been altered. The newer translations have a lot of flaws. My favorite is the King James Version. Second to the King James Version would be the New King James Version. But the New King James Version has some flaws in it as well. So we got to understand that when we see something in the Scriptures that isn't consistent, there again, where did that inconsistency come from? Is it from our misunderstanding of the Scriptures? Or is it because of the translation? Or is it a language barrier? Or a change in the use of a word? Those are the kinds of things that a teacher has to study and find out. And you find that out through prayer and listening to the Holy Ghost and continuing to study the Word. The more you study the Word, you'll see the consistency of the Bible from the beginning all the way to the end. When things are consistent and flow together and you see how accurate and true they are, then you know, okay, that is right. That is the right interpretation of what that Scripture says. If you see something that stands out totally on its own, nothing else to back it up, then you can say, okay, I'm misunderstanding this, or somebody else misunderstood this before me and distorted it. And then you can do more research and find out what that verse is really supposed to be saying. Because we see entire denominations built on false teaching as a result of the misunderstanding or taking a scripture or a verse out of context. And that's what you see happening. And like I said, entire denominations going off to the side on some tangent or some total false teaching. As we're cautioned in the Word about how important it is to watch out what we say. Continuing in James chapter 3, it reads, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able to abide the whole body." Excuse me, and able to bridle the whole body. If we say something wrong, we can offend a whole lot of folks. And that's not being offensive as in, you know, hey, y'all are all pretty sorry-looking bunch in here tonight. You know, that would offend a lot of folks. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about teaching them something incorrectly that could damage their walk with the Lord. And if we can keep that under control and keep it on the straight and narrow and keep it true, then we have bridled or controlled the entire body. He says, "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." He's talking about how easy it is with just something small to make such an awesome change. "Behold, also the ships which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." You know, you got that helm and you get the little wheel or the little handle that turns the rudder, it turns a huge ship, small item in the back that turns that huge ship. "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." I mean, he can't be no more specific about how important it is to control our tongue and how easy it is to cause such grief and confusion and turmoil in the entire world. "Whereas therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God." It's like you come to church and you're praising the Lord and you go out here and then you're cursing somebody on your way home from church. You know, with the same tongue, you have praised the Lord and cursed man. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Doeth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? Or can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. Meekness and wisdom. How do we gain those two things? We got to understand the definition of meekness, which is power under control. We have such an awesome power that is at our fingertips and at the tip of our tongue. And we got to use that with wisdom. Where does the wisdom come from? It comes from God. We got to pray about it. We got to study His Word. We got to listen to the influence of the Holy Ghost so that the awesome power that is within each one of us is used in the right way. And we got to be very, very careful, because it says, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. There's people that get tangled up in different areas of being a teacher and can fall away from the Lord because they get puffed up. They get puffed up with pride. They get territorial. They get thinking that things are their own instead of the Lord's, and not realizing that it is all the Lord's. It is not something they've done. It's something that they had the privilege to be a part of. And the Lord is speaking here to the disciples in Luke chapter 20. In verse 46, beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes. See, the scribes were a group that was their job to study the Word of God and to actually make the manuscripts, the copies. They copied them letter for letter, a very, very intense, and a lot of study went into it to understand the Word of God and to write the translations from the Hebrew to the Greek, so that the people could use that, and then to make a copy of one to another. They didn't go down to the local copying store and say, here, make me up a copy of this. You know, they had to handwrite everything, so they had to be very well learned in the Word of God so that they knew they were doing it correctly. And that because of that position, they were elevated way up in society, and some of them got puffed up with pride. Beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes. They want people to know what the job is so that they can get the respect and pride and honor that comes along with that. They get puffed up with pride. And long greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feasts. You know, I'm something special. Elevate me on up here, you know. Which devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers, and the same shall receive greater damnation. If we, because we become teachers or pastors or preachers or missionaries or evangelists, start puffing ourselves up as if we are something special that needs to be honored, that needs to be given the reverence, that needs to be... You need to look at yourself and think, well, what are you in all this? You should be the most humble and the most blessed, because the Lord has chose you. I should say, you are most blessed because the Lord has chose you to be a part of that. And that ought to really bring you down in humility and be so thankful that you have an opportunity to work for the Lord in that way. And know that there's a lot of responsibility that comes along with that. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11, pick it up here. This is the Beatitudes. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. If you start teaching the Word of God in the right way, you're going to get a lot of resistance. And if you're on the straight and narrow and you're doing the will of the Lord and you're teaching what is right, that's going to help people come closer to the Lord and help people come on in and become Christians, the devil's going to put all kinds of obstacles in your way. One of those is going to be false accusations against you. Flat out lies told about you to try to hurt your reputation among us others, among others. I've had this happen to me a great many times. And here recently, I know I've had things quoted to me, lies have been told about me that would try to undermine my position as a pastor and try to hurt this congregation. So we've got to understand that is out there. It comes at us in subtle ways. It comes at us right from within our groups, and it comes from the outside in, trying to tear this church down. And that's the kind of thing that we've got to guard ourselves from, realize that sort of thing happens. And that false teaching falls right into that, trying to undermine things right from within. And it reads, verse 12, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Know that you're not going through anything new. If you've been given the blessing of being able to be in that position of the teacher, you're going to get a lot of criticism from those that want to either have your position or those that are jealous of the position that you have, or those that merely are working for Satan and want to create chaos and destroy everything. Verse 13, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted?" We've got to have that salt, that flavor, that spark within you, that fire, that excitement. When we're up there teaching, when we're talking to those little ones, when we're talking to the older ones, when we're out there witnessing and testifying, it's got to be in there. Otherwise, you're just a dud. I mean, it's not going to have any effectiveness. It's not going to have that spark. It's not going to have any of that flavor, that zest. Because it is thenceforth good for nothing if you don't have that salt within you, that savor. "But to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men, worthless, might as well be scattered about and walked on." Verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." When we've been given that light as Christians, that comes with the responsibility to let that light shine. We are not the kind of religion that our wisest of wise go up on some tall mountain somewhere and live together in a small little dwelling where we can focus all of our attention on studying the Word of God so that we, our individual selves, can grow closer and closer to the Lord. We quit talking to everybody else. We give up all of our possessions and we spend all of our time studying the Word of God. What good is that? You're worthless. Might as well be thrown under the feet of men and trodden upon. Because if we have that light within us, we need to be right there on the front line, right there amongst the people, right there spreading the Word of God, right there doing the work the Lord has given to us, because He's put that light in us for a reason, not to go hide it away somewhere. "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We that have been given the understanding of the Word of God have that responsibility to go out there and to teach and to preach the Word of God, because it is that light that He's speaking of there that has come into us. But we know that there are people out there that we are working around that have come up with false teachings. It is prophesied in the Scriptures about false teachers. If you turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2. In 2 Peter chapter 2, in verse 1 it reads, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. They'll start talking against the truth because they prefer to believe a lie because it fits their agenda better. And through covetousness shall they, with feigned words or false or incorrect or deceivable, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not, they will be held accountable, in other words. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. So much of this that is under attack now, the worldwide flood, homosexuality and lesbianism. It's like, oh, it's okay. They were born that way. Oh, there wasn't no worldwide flood. You know, all this false teaching, referring to it here. Reason delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Talking about how we need to get out of all that unlawful stuff and need to get away from all that false teaching as well, as we can apply this to that. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. He's going to take care of all that judgment. So we shouldn't get distracted on that part of it. We need to understand we need to be like Noah and stay on the straight and narrow. Not get off track into the ungodly like Lot did and vex your mortal soul. And stay in the truth of the Word of God. In 1 John chapter 4, letting us know what we have to do. What is our responsibility as teachers and as preachers and as witnesses is right here. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Everything that you hear, every spirit, everything that comes unto you in there, don't believe it. But try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. The key point of any religion that you might be involved in, if it is completely and totally in agreement with who Jesus Christ is, Son of God, what the work that He did for us, based on His work, not our work, that's what He's talking about here, then we know it's of God. If they deny who Jesus Christ is, then we know for sure, okay, this is wrong, this is incorrect, this is false teaching. The guys that come out to your door and knock on the door and handing out all these watchtower things and all these other literatures and so forth, they deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They deny that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. They deny that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, stayed among the people for 40 days and then ascended to the Father and is our high mediator, our high priest, our mediator on the right hand of the Father. They avoid all that. They don't talk about all that. All they talk about is Jesus Christ died for your sin. They leave it at that. That shows that it's a false teaching. They show that that is incorrect. That is not of true and living God. That is false. So be careful with that. We will encounter that, I'm sure, all the time. You see them everywhere. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Clear and simple. The most decisive factor in all teachings that we got to look at is where it puts Jesus Christ. The emphasis on who Jesus Christ is. If they do not do that, even though it might sound great, even though it might be a lot of prayers to God, is it to the true and living God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Trinity? Or is it just to an image that they have in their mind of a heavenly Father that is all by Himself, singleistic, as the Muslims have with their false teaching, just a single false God that they worship, Allah, which is actually the ancient moon god of a pagan religion that Muhammad decided to put into his new religion that he wanted to write to start his own little group. So we've got to understand What are they believing in? Who are they believing in? If it is not Jesus Christ, then it is false. Let's read 3 again. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. We've talked about that so much here lately. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. It's here. The false teachers, the Antichrist, it is infiltrating us in so many different areas, in our public schools, in our churches, in our seminaries, in our Bible colleges. It is coming into all of our lives so prevalently. And the closer we get to the last days, the more we're going to see this amped up higher and higher. And when you get any literature, look at it very carefully before you tell it to a child, before you teach it to a child. That's your responsibility as a teacher. So do that very thing, is to study very closely so that you do not teach anyone wrong. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. It gives us that truth to be able to stand so firmly upon. It gives us that encouragement to know that you are watching everything that we do. That should both terrify us and also excite us, to let us know that you are truly in charge of everything. And help us to realize that. And help us to yield and to be humble and to come before you and ask for your guidance so that we can do the very work you have set before us in the way you want it done. We thank you so much for the opportunity to serve you as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.